This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. I want to actually begin by apologizing for my voice. I'm actually a little bit sick, so my voice is going to come in and out. But the topic today is actually one that I think is very, very important, and I think it's something that applies to a lot of us as we walk through this life. We're going to encounter things which end up hurting us, things which end up breaking our hearts, basically. And whenever we encounter something that's painful, there are different ways in which we can respond. And basically, I think the way that normally, usually when we do encounter something that hurts us, the way that we, most of the time, the way that we respond is that we blame, or rather we see the creation as being the cause of our hurt, as the cause of our pain. And so, for example, if somebody hurts me or does something or withholds from me something that I want, what I'm going to do is I'm going to see that person as the one who caused this pain to me. And in this case, I then blame the creation itself. I blame that person, or I blame, whatever it is of the creation for the pain that I feel. Now, at times, there isn't a, something that it's not a person that I can blame. So maybe something happened where maybe there was a natural disaster or something, and it basically it wiped out all of my, all of my belongings. I lost everything in this natural disaster. And so in that case, because the human being doesn't have another person to blame, what sometimes happens in that case is humans will actually turn and blame God himself. And this is the sort of the predicament of a lot of atheists, where you find that it's really driven by a sense of anger at God. So because you feel angry, how could God do this to me? So as a result, it leads that person to disbelieve in God altogether. And it's almost like, in a sense, it's almost like you're thinking that you're going to punish God by refusing to believe in him. And so a lot of what drives atheism at times is actually a sense of anger and really driven from a sense of arrogance. But basically, the healing process, or basically how the only way that you can begin to heal once you have been hurt or once you have had a broken heart is when the moment that you can start to stop, the moment that you stop seeing the creation and instead see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the moment that you can see through the creation itself and in what happened to you and in whatever hurt you. And instead of seeing that, that person, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one who, out of his wisdom had this or allowed this to happen to you. Now, what I want to do is actually share a hadith. It's one of my favorite hadith where, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, who said, so one day he was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to him and he said, young man, I shall teach you some words of advice. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find him in front of you. If you ask, ask of Allah. If you seek help of Allah. Know that if the nation were to gather together to benefit you with anything, it would benefit you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. And if they gather together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something Allah had already prescribed for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. And in another narration of this hadith, it says that the Prophet ﷺ said, be mindful of Allah, you will find him before you. Get to know Allah in prosperity and he will know you in adversity. Know that what has passed you by was not meant to befall you, and that what has befallen you was not going to pass you by. And know that victory comes with patience, relief with affliction, and ease with hardship. So you see from this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is explaining that even if every single human being, all the nations were to come together and their plan was that they were going to hurt you with something, that they were going to all come together and plot against you, that they could not hurt you, they could not do anything to you except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already written for you, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed. And similarly, if all of the nations were to come together to try to benefit you, to try to give you something, or help you in some way, they would not be able to do it except by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already prescribed for you. So what we need to see from this hadith, the lesson here, is that it isn't the nations, it isn't the people who are giving or not giving, it isn't the people who are hurting or not hurting, but rather these are all almost like puppets. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control. So the question then is, well, okay, some people might then turn their anger towards Allah, right? Okay, it's not the creation, so then I'm going to turn my anger towards Allah instead. But here's where that anger towards Allah would only come out of a lack of knowledge of what really was happening to you. And that's what I want to get into. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that he explains that for a believer, their matters are strange. And this is only the case for a believer. This is really deep because the Prophet ﷺ said that there's this strange sort of circumstance, there's this strange state that a believer is in where every single thing that happens to the believer is actually good for the believer. So imagine that no matter what happens to you, it's actually good for you. It's better for you. And so he gives the example. He says that if something comes to that believer that they like, that they want, they are grateful for it, and so it's good for them. And if something comes that they don't like, they are patient, they have sabr, and therefore it's good for them. So in the case of a believer, you see, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends to you is actually good for you. Now, one of the examples I think that really illustrate this concept very well is something that we all can relate to. And that is, when you're little and you go to get a vaccine. So your parents, they take you to get these shots. And the way in which you respond to this vaccine can be very different depending on your understanding of the situation. So some people might go to the doctor, and when they get this vaccine shot, they get very angry. They might get angry at the doctor, because the doctor had caused them pain. And another person might actually get angry at the needle itself, right? And that idea of when we get when something happens to us and it's painful, we can react in a number of ways. The one who gets angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when these things happen is like the one who gets angry at the doctor for giving them a vaccine. It's like the one who gets angry at the doctor because of the pain that the shot caused them. Or the one who gets angry at the creation because of this pain that they went through is like, in the case of this vaccine, it's like turning to the needle and getting angry at the needle. So you're looking at the needle and you start cursing the needle because the needle caused you pain. You look at this, it sounds ludicrous, but first of all, the needle has no power, right? The needle is a tool that's being used by the doctor. And the question is, it's a tool being used by the doctor. Is it for your good or is it for your harm? And the point is that this vaccine is for your good, even though it hurts. And that's the point. But once your understanding increases, and here's where you can look at kind of the different reactions. If you bring a two-year-old and you put a two-year-old in that doctor's office and that two-year-old gets the vaccine, that child has no idea that this is good for them. And that child is going to be angry at the needle and at the doctor. Okay. And the reason why is because that child does not understand the reason for this pain. All the child sees is the pain. All the child sees is the needle. The child does not see the doctor. The child does not see the cure. The child only sees the pain and only sees the needle. And that's like the lowest level, right? Where we interact with when we do undergo heartbreak or pain, and all we see is the pain, and all we see is the creation, the person who hurt us. It's just like that child who's getting mad at the needle, because that event that happened to us, or that pain that happened to us, or whatever did cause that heartbreak or that pain, is actually something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of, and Allah sent it to us for a reason. And just like the hadith said, that nothing that has befallen you was meant to pass you by, and nothing that has passed you by was meant to befall you. And so here, when we look at the situation of the one who either, you know, gets mad at the needle or gets mad at the doctor, basically the reason why this happens is because in both of these situations, the person fails to see the needle as a tool that's being used by the doctor. And it's not being used to hurt you, but it's actually being used to cure you and in fact make you even stronger. But it takes a certain level of understanding to see that situation as it really is. And if you think of, you know, beyond the example of the two-year-old, then you can think about maybe a child who's a little older, whose understanding is a little better. Say you take now a 10-year-old and you put them in that same situation, and that 10-year-old now has to get this vaccine. Well, that 10-year-old's reaction is going to be a little different than the two-year-old. That 10-year-old kind of understands, okay, yeah, this is for my own good. But that 10-year-old's still a little angry at the doctor, yeah? And this is kind of what we might call sabr. So we have three different levels of responses to hardship or pain. The first is the one of the two-year-old. It's the response where you don't understand that this is good for you or can be good for you, depending on your response, that you don't understand that. And so you react with anger. You react with resentment either towards the creation, towards the decree of Allah, or towards Allah himself. And that's the one who has the least knowledge of the situation. And then you have the second response, which is the response that we are required to have at the very least. And that's the response of sabr. And this can kind of be likened to the reaction of the 10-year-old. The 10-year-old is going to get that shot, and inside that 10-year-old might want to scream. Inside that 10-year-old is pretty angry, but they know enough to sort of, you know, grind their teeth and say thank you to the doctor. Yeah. So this is sabr, that even when it hurts us, even when we don't fully see it as good for us, we still grind our teeth and we try to be patient. And at least that's the very least that a believer should have. And inshallah, the believer will be rewarded if they have at least that level of the reaction. And in that case, that is the one who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes when he says that any hardship that, or any pain or any sorrow, any suffering that a believer undergoes actually removes their sins like leaves falling from a tree. And that will be in this category, the one who has sabr, the one who's at least, even when it hurts inside, they're at least, and sometimes sabr is, you know, sometimes again, there's the pre-sabr, which is, you know, tasabbur. And that means that you're striving to have sabr. And this is, you know, more so the situation where it hurts inside. You don't understand. Maybe, you know, it's very difficult for you, but you're still striving to be patient with it. And that's still rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reward of tasabbur, the reward of striving to have sabr, is actually sabr itself. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless that person with sabr. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us this in the hadith, man tasabbara yusbirhu Allah, which means whoever strives to have patience or sabr, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with actually being patient and having sabr. And that situation is again very, it's rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reward of that is that you have your sins removed. But then there's a higher level, and I would liken that level to the reaction of an adult in this situation. When an adult walks in and has to get a vaccine, that adult actually thanks the doctor. And when that person thanks the doctor, it isn't a fake thank you. It is a real thank you from the heart, because that person sees fully the situation, that this little prick, it's nothing compared to the benefit that I'm getting from this treatment. And that is the reaction of Rida. That's the ultimate, and I mean, that's the highest level that we want to attain in terms of how we respond to pain. And that is that we are actually pleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're actually thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for curing us. And I'm going to take a short break right now. Inshallah, when we return, we'll continue on the topic of healing a broken heart. Assalamu alaikum, this is Yasmeen Mujahid and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. Before we continue on the topic of healing a broken heart, I actually want to encourage you guys to, inshallah, get involved at the chat box, in the chat box. And, you know, feel free to share your experiences, to ask your questions. I mean, one of the things I want to do is hear from you and have this be a discussion, have it be interactive, inshallah. And so we can interact, I can interact with you, you can interact with me, and as well as people being able to interact with each other in the chat box. So go ahead and write your questions if you have questions or even reflections that you'd like to share. So in talking about the response, how we respond when we are hurt and how we respond, you know, there's things in our past perhaps where we can't really let go. We're not able to let go of a hurt that happened to us, or a loss, or, you know, somebody in our life who really, really hurt us and we hold a grudge, or, you know, someone left us and we just can't get over it. All of these things, are parts, of dunya that we have to basically experience. And the question really is how we interpret and how we respond to these things. And like the example that I gave about the vaccine, it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's in charge. You know, just like the doctor is the one who's in charge, it's not the needle. The needle doesn't, you know, act on its own accord, but rather the doctor controls the needle. And if we as human beings just see the creation in what happens to us or in what hurts us, it's just like a person just seeing the needle and getting very angry at the needle and cursing the needle because it poked us, you know. The idea here is there's someone in control and there's a plan for us and there's a wisdom. And that brings me to why it is that someone would get angry in this situation at the doctor. The reason why someone would get angry at the doctor in this situation is either because of a lack of understanding and knowledge of the whole curing process. So this is like the situation of the two-year-old. The reason the two-year-old gets really, really mad and screams and cries, and we have adult versions of this, right, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? We throw our own tantrums, right? But they just come in different forms as adults. But the reason why this happens is because of a lack of understanding of the whole situation. The two-year-old has no idea why this is happening. The two-year-old has no idea that this pain is actually curing that child. It's actually making that child's immune system stronger. The two-year-old doesn't understand that. So it's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of understanding of the situation and why it's happening and of the whole curing process. The second reason why we might react with anger is because of a lack of trust in the doctor himself. So if we feel that the doctor does not have our best interests in mind, then we will not trust that doctor. We'll feel angry that that doctor hurt us because we don't believe that that doctor has our best interest in mind. And when we think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we really understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to us than a mother is to her child, then we would never we would never distrust Allah. We would never think that Allah is trying to hurt us. Allah is never trying to hurt us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants what's best for us. I mean, if you think about a mother and an infant, I mean, you can't imagine that that mother would ever want or to hurt that infant. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained in his hadith, would you think that a mother would throw her baby into the fire? And the same way that that would be something you can't conceive, but rather much, much more, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah's mercy is for His servant, is greater than the mother's mercy for that baby. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to hurt. Allah doesn't give you these things in your life because He wants you to feel pain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to cure you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to heal you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to free you. And it's really, really important that as soon as you're able to see things in that way, then everything that comes to you will be good for you. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that this is the matter of a believer, and it is only the case for a believer. Because you're able to see that even if something hurts you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for you. And if you know that, then you will be able to realize that yes, even though this hurts me, this is a cure. Even though this hurts me, it's good for me, and it's freeing me, and it's healing me. And the second reason why someone might distrust a doctor. So a doctor comes and causes you pain, okay, in the treatment. The second reason why you might distrust the doctor is if you don't have full trust in the doctor's ability or capability. So if you think a doctor is incompetent, then that's when you would react with anger towards what they're doing to you. And if you undergo pain, you're going to be angry. And the reason is that you don't trust that that doctor knows what he's doing. Now think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we trust that Allah knows what he's doing? Do we trust that not only does Allah have our best interests in mind, that He knows what He's doing? He is Al-Alim, He is the most knowing, and He is Al-Hakim, He is the most wise. He knows exactly what He's doing with us. It's not like you're going to a doctor and, you know, this person didn't even finish med school. You know, you're going to be pretty distrusting of this doctor. Yeah, but we're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to know Him by His attributes, that He is the most knowing, He is the most merciful, and He is the most wise in His decisions. And so whatever this doctor is doing with you, you know it's good for you. And when you have that trust, guess what happens? What happens then is that the treatment itself can fulfill its purpose. Because when we don't allow, it's kind of like if you don't allow a surgeon to do the surgery, or the doctor gives you a prescription and you refuse to take the medicine, it's not going to cure you. The idea here is that when we have to allow the treatment to do its work. We have to allow the doctor to do his work, trusting that one, the doctor has your best interest in mind, and two, the doctor knows exactly what he's doing. One of the the quotes, which I really, really love, of Ibn Qayyim, I'm going to go ahead and read this quote and then inshallah hear from you guys in the chat box. This quote of Ibn al-Qayyim is from Madarij al-Salikin, and he says that the divine decree related to the believer is always a bounty, even if it is in the form of withholding something that is desired. And it is a blessing, even if it appears to be a trial. And an affliction that has befallen him is in reality a cure, even though it appears to be a disease. Unfortunately, due to the ignorance of the worshipper and his transgressions, he does not consider anything to be a gift or a blessing or a cure unless he can enjoy it immediately, and it is in accordance with his nature. If he were only given a little bit of understanding, then he would have counted being withheld from as a blessing, and the sickness as a mercy, and he would relish the troubles that befalls him more than he relishes his ease, and he would enjoy poverty more than he enjoys richness, and he would be more thankful when he is blessed with little than when he is blessed with a lot. Why is Ibn Qayyim saying this? Because this is like the one who you know, he goes, he finds out that he has cancer. Okay. The doctor tells them tells the person that he has cancer. But then the doctor says, but I can undergo I can perform a surgery on you and I can remove the cancer. And after this surgery, you will be cured of your cancer. Well, what's going to happen is you're going to go to the doctor willingly and lovingly, and you're going to give up, you know, you're going to trust that doctor. And something I want to note here, you don't need to understand, and in fact, you're not going to understand every part of that procedure, right? When you go to have a surgery, you don't say, no, first you have to explain it all to me. I have to understand everything that you're going to do in the surgery room. Otherwise, you can't do it. You don't do that. The reason you don't do that is because you know that the expertise of the surgeon is different than yours, that the understanding of the surgeon is different than yours, and that you can't necessarily understand what that surgeon is going to do in the surgery room, but you have trust that they will, that what they do will be good for you and that what they do will be curing you. And so you go to that surgeon, you go, and basically you're telling the surgeon, go ahead and take a knife to me. I mean, that's what you're telling the surgeon, that I trust you enough that I'm gonna go under the knife and I just trust that you're gonna cure me. Now imagine, we do this with a human being, but we're not willing to do this with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not willing to trust Him enough that when He gives us something, we know that He's curing us. And in this case, after the surgery, you know what happens. I don't know if anyone has undergone surgery. You know that after the surgery, it hurts. There's pain in the whole recovery process. But when we feel that pain, we're not, you know, cursing the surgeon, right? Nobody's doing that. No one's calling the surgeon every day and be like, look what you did to me. You know, we are thankful. We're like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You cured me of my cancer. Nobody's going to care that it hurts a little bit because they've been cured of this horrible disease. And in the same way, you know, subhanAllah, we have so many diseases inside of us. And do we not want to be cured of them? These are the types of diseases that are worse than the physical diseases, because we can have, you know, cancer in the body is something, you know, the body is temporary. The body is something that's going to pass away anyways. But when there's a disease inside of the heart, inside of the soul, this is something which is, if it's not cured, now we're talking about, you know, going to the hereafter, this is now talking about the infinite realm, that if we're not purifying ourselves in this life, then we're going to go and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a dirty heart. We're going to go and face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a soul that's not purified. And you know, that's part of it. That's part of this life, if you think about it. That this life, if you think about it as a purification process. So that when we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're clean of our cancers. Like we're rid of those diseases and those deadly attachments, which really are just sucking the life out of us. So if you think about life like that, then, you know, you're much more able to not just be patient, but even thank the doctor and have rida. And this is the highest level. And when you react in this way, when you react with rida to hardship, something really, really wonderful happens. And that is that you're elevated in your status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the highest level and the greatest reaction to hardship. Inshallah, I'm going to take a short break and take a look at the chat box. So go ahead and write your comments and questions. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We're speaking today about the topic of how to heal a broken heart. How do we get past the things in our lives that hurt us, the people in our lives that caused us pain, and letting go of grudges and forgiving. Basically, one of the point that we're making today is that our problem and why we hold on to things why we can't let go, why we hold grudges and are angry with people is because when something happens to us, we see the creation instead of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like seeing the needle instead of seeing the doctor when you're given a vaccine. And in this example is that the way in which we see everything that happens to us, if we see everything that happens to us in the correct light as believers, then we will see that everything is actually good for us if we have the proper response. The Prophet ﷺ talks about this, that the response can either be patience or gratitude. And in both cases, it means that the matter is good for you because your response is either patience or gratitude, depending on what it is. Now, some of the questions from the chat box, there's more than one question that talk about the issue of emotional pain. That, you know, does it mean, for example, one of the questions is, does it mean the fact that I have this emotional pain, does it mean that it's a punishment for me? And I think that anytime we look at what we experience in life and the question of whether something is a punishment or whether something is a blessing, really the answer has to do with our reaction to it. So if our reaction to that pain is like the 2-year-old, if our reaction to that pain is to get angry at the doctor, in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is high above any analogy. If our response is to get angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it may very well be that this is a punishment for us. However, if our response is different, if our response to that emotional pain is that we actually get closer to Allah. You know, sometimes when things are difficult for us, when we feel pain, it drives us to make dua to Allah. It drives us to pray a little more. It drives us to become more humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have more of a state which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran, which is called tadarra. Tadarra is this state of intense humility and desperation and need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, if this hardship and this emotional pain drives us to that, then it actually is not a punishment for us, but rather a blessing, but rather a cure. As we gave in the example of, you know, the surgery that's removing the cancer, or the vaccine, which is making you stronger. Now, how does emotional pain, the question would be, how does emotional pain cure you? I mean, it seems kind of counterintuitive, right? How would emotional pain be a cure or, you know, remove a cancer from us? Well, here's the thing. A lot of us have these false attachments inside of us. A lot of us might love things and depend on things in a way that we should only love and depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of us have our hearts full of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are focused on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what happens is, as a way, as an indication almost, that there's a problem. You see, because pain, the thing about pain, and you think about this in the physical world, it's the same rule, that pain, whether physical or emotional, is a driver. It's a motivator to make a change. It's a motivator to act. It's a motivator to basically do something to alleviate the pain, right? Because we as human beings, naturally, we want to avoid pain. This is natural. And so if we feel physical pain, it's going to motivate us to change something, to do something to alleviate the pain. In the same way that, you know, your hand, if your hand touches the fire, that pain that you feel is going to make you remove your hand from the fire. And in the same way, emotional pain works in a very similar way. When you are continuously feeling emotional pain from something, it motivates you to change, to do something to change the situation. And so the pain itself is not just a cure, because as we know, if we respond with sabr, it removes our sins. This is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But it's not only a cure, but it's also, it's telling you there's something wrong here. It's telling you there's a problem in your attachment. It's telling you that maybe the way this relationship is not healthy. And maybe the reason why you feel that emotional pain and it's so intense is because you have made something else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most important thing in your life. And if you do that, if you make something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the ultimate focus of your life, or the highest priority, the thing that your life revolves around, you will for sure be caused emotional pain. This is a rule. And if you think about this, even this law of the universe type thing, it's actually a mercy. And it's something designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to push us away from other than Him towards Him. So if I am, taking something else as my ultimate love, so I have someone in my heart that I have higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I have something in my heart higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it might be my job or my career or my looks or status or another person, even my spouse or my children, any of these things, if they are higher than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my heart, you know what's going to happen is that thing itself, my career or my job or my status or my spouse or my child, will actually be that which causes me the most emotional pain. And it's amazing because I have made something else and taken something else and put it at the place where only Allah should be, that thing itself will be the cause of my greatest pain. That thing itself will cause me the most emotional pain. And the reason this happens is because you've put something somewhere where it was never meant to be. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the most important thing in our lives. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be our ultimate focus, our ultimate love. And the moment we take something else other than Him and put it in that place, that thing itself will cause us a great deal of pain. And in that pain, what happens? Well, see, think about a person who continuously hurts you again and again and again and again. What happens over time, naturally, no matter how attached you were to that person, you will start slowly to detach. You will start slowly to, it will weaken the attachment. And so by this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designs, that the dunya itself, the more that we get attached to it, the more that we get attached or love something greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that thing will actually hurt us again and again and again. And in that is actually a mercy, because what it does is it makes us detach. It weakens our attachment to that thing, to the dunya, which was an unhealthy attachment. And this doesn't mean that it makes you not love that thing anymore, but it makes you reorient the way in which you are attached to it and put things back in their proper place, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the ultimate focus and that everything else should have its proper place in your, in what you love, but not the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be. أَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِي وَلَكُمْ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.